Good morning, my friends, and welcome to our third Sunday of Easter. Our first reading today is from Acts 2, and it's verses 14a and then 36 to 41, and it's Peter's sermon at Pentecost. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And I have to apologize to you. You know, I've been getting dental work, and they rebuilt two teeth in front, and they both broke off again. And so I am lisping and doing some other things. So I apologize to you, but please bear with me. Our psalm today is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 14. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." This ends our reading of the psalm. Our next is the epistle reading, and this is a continuation of Peter's sermon. And this is 1 Peter 1, 17 to 25. "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This ends our reading. One of the things I've been doing is adding some hymns to our bulletin. And I added, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, because our story today is about the road to Emmaus and Jesus joining the two travelers and walking with them, even though they didn't know who they were. But I want to read you that first verse, because I think it's very important for this story. Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure. Flee the world, which would deceive us, and to sin our souls allure. Ever in his footsteps, treading, body here, yet soul above, full of faith and hope and love. Let us do the Father's bidding, faithful Lord, abide with me. Savior, lead, I follow thee. I'd like to continue with the gospel reading, which is the story of this road to Emmaus. And this is Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you were holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther. All right, sorry, I had to find my place again. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us. For it is toward evening, and day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with him. And when he was at table with him, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures? And they rose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were there with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This ends our gospel reading. Thanks be to God. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today is our third Sunday of Easter, and we're going to focus on the gospel lesson and the story of the road to Emmaus today and what it means to us. Last year, if you remembered on this Sunday, I focused on Peter's Pentecost sermon. But this year, I think the Emmaus story is important for us to look at. Now, there's a movement within the Lutheran Church to bring us closer to Jesus, actually called the Road to Emmaus. And it's a wonderful experience in which to participate. And maybe someday we can actually do that here. I added the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, to help us understand the importance of this experience. Now, Jesus joined the two travelers walking to Emmaus without them knowing who he was. Remember, this all happens after the resurrection. But how do we know that Jesus hasn't met us and talked with us during our own lifetimes? We don't. But my friends, this may have actually happened. I think it's difficult for us to understand this world, especially how information was shared and learned. There were no newspapers, no radio, no television, no internet, no nothing, except for the word of mouth and a story passed from person to person. And sometimes I think that gets a little difficult too. Remember in elementary school you played the game telephone? Where one person hears something whispered in his or her ear, and then that person whispers the story into the ear of the next person, and so on, until it goes from the first person to the last one. And then we find out the story is no longer recognizable from what it was when it started. Well, many times, this is how stories grew in this time period, because everybody wants to put their own embellishment on it. But to these two travelers, they were talking about a story they had personally experienced when they were joined by a fellow traveler. The traveler who was also walking for Jerusalem had not heard any of the events of the arrest, trial, crucifixion, and the resurrection. That very day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Now, folks, you got to remember, these two were Jews. There's no Christians yet. You know, this is a Jewish teaching, and Jesus was a Jew. But it's coming. And what they were apostles relaying the gospel to a stranger. Well, I thought there were only 11 apostles at this time. Apostle means a messenger of God. And gospel translates as the good news. So they were the messengers of God, even though they didn't know it, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with a stranger. They help you to understand this story, I'm going to share you a story about something that happened to Peggy Sue many years ago. She and I have had gastric bypasses, and they were both done by a wonderful Indian surgeon named Dr. Ramdam Sudan. Peggy was taken to the emergency room of the University of Nebraska Medical Center with an extremely high fever and was really sick about 20 years ago. Dr. Sudan had left instructions with the ER that when any of his patients were brought into the ER, he was to be informed about the situation. Well, he was still at the hospital that early evening, just before he went home. It was probably about 7 o'clock. But Dr. Sudan was really bothered by Piggy's condition. You know, a normal physician, especially since they'd been there since surgery early that morning, probably about 5 or 6 o'clock, would have gone home and waited to do any surgery the next morning when they were fresh. Peggy continued to get sicker, and Dr. Sudan decided to take her in the surgery after about 10 o'clock that night. He found that her intestine had twisted and become blocked and was ready to burst. If it had, Peggy would have died. So Dr. Sudan saved her life. Next day, when Peggy was in recovery, she and Dr. Sudan were talking early the next morning, and she told the doctor that God had led him to save her life. Now, Dr. Sudan was Hindi, and he told her he wasn't a Christian, so how could the Christian God be with him? Peggy told him that God uses whom he wants, no matter who they are or what they personally believe. So Peggy Sue, at that point, was an apostle sharing the good news of the power of Jesus and God with Dr. Sudan, and it really hit him hard. Well, isn't this the basis of the story of the road to Emmaus, where non-Christians were used by Jesus to tell the story of the passion to a stranger, apostles, messengers, sharing the good news of the resurrection? And then these two men treated him with hospitality, Cleopas and Simon, one of the most important Christian concepts. And then Jesus revealed himself at the time of communion with them, the Lord's Supper shared with them by the Lord himself. Well, now, how did the reading relay this part of the story? So they drew near to the village where they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." There's a beautiful service called the Service of Evening, of which this is how it starts. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose at that same hour. Now remember, this is the end of the day, and they'd been walking all day, and they turned around and walked back to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, that those who were with them, gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed." See where we get that? "And has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The two travelers went back from their travels to Jerusalem to find the apostles and relay to them the story of their meeting with Jesus. Now, don't you think of at that point there was a conversion for these two men? Scripture does not tell us that the two travelers became believers, but they sure acted like believers, didn't they? And it was important enough for them to travel a day back to Jerusalem at night by foot and lose 2 days of their trip to share the good news with the apostles. So as I started our message today, how do we know if we have not met Jesus in our own lives? Or have we actually met angels without knowing we have done so? My friends, I can guarantee you we don't. But sometimes you get that feeling that you have, and it's probably the truth. Now, to tie all of this together for you today, I'm not going to try and unpack it with my own words, because Peter has done so far more eloquently in our epistle message today. And I'm going to start with verse 17. "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in that last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, and who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. My dear Christian friends, may this faith and hope that Peter relates to us keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus our Lord. Alleluia and amen. God bless all of you, and hopefully we'll be back together soon.